So welcome to Bhakti Sangha Japa Conference Call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Preeti Vlasi Mataji to enlighten us on Sri Brahad Bhagavatam. So today is the 26th session of Book 2. So thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable association and time. Now I would like to hand over the call to you, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. Thank you so much for your warm introduction. And thanks to all the devotees who chanted so beautifully. All of you on the call. Shama Supriya Mataji, Intarandarika Mataji, Jyoti Mataji, Indu Mataji, everybody. Shamagari Mataji. Thank you all so much. So we are continuing our study of Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This is Book 2, Session Number 26. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. ओम अज्ञानतिमिरांधस्य ज्ञानांजनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः मुखं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंगयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे श्रीगुरुं दीनतारिणं नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते राधानाथस्वामिनिति नामिने नमः ओं विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिनिति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वतीदेवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषशून्यवादि पाश्चात्यतीर्थारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवसादि गौरभक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्यैव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः मै हम्बल ओबेसेंसेस टू ऑल द वैष्णवास ऑन द कॉल प्लीज ब्लेस मी सो दैट आई मे बी एबल टू स्पीक हरे कृष्ण ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्रील सनातन गोस्वामी द ऑथर ऑफ श्री बृहद भागवतामृता. So in our previous session, we stopped at a point where Gopakumar was in Dwaraka. And somehow, even though he was in Dwaraka and he was seeing Krishna himself in the spiritual abode of Dwaraka, he felt that he was missing something. He was actually missing his dear Madan Mohan, the Lord of his heart. And at that time, very mercifully, Narada Muni appeared on the scene. So that is where we stopped. So continuing from there. So though Krishna, his abode and his associates are seen in various forms and various places, in dreams and different states of consciousness, we should understand that they are all perfect with consistency. It is one, although they are many and they are always real. This point has been established previously by Narada Muni in Brihad Bhagavatamrita already when Gopakumar was in Vaikuntha. Now Narada Muni, he is appearing there. This Narada Muni, not only is he a great celibate, but he's also one of the greatest of the Lord's associates, very, very close associate of the Lord. So Gopakumar was amazed to see Narada present everywhere. Now he was amazed. Why? How come? I just saw Narada sometime back in Vaikuntha, now again he's there in Dwaraka. So Narada Muni was very amazed. Gopakumar was very amazed seeing Narada everywhere. And he sees Narada Muni with the same veena in his hand, with the same sense of humor, wherever he goes. So Gopakumar asks Narada, "Oh Narada, you're the best of the sages, but how is it that I see you everywhere, wherever I go? I see you in the heavenly planets and in the material world. I see you in Vaikuntha, and now I see you here in Dwaraka. And wherever I see you, you always look the same. And I'm so fascinated by this fact." Then Narada told Gopakumar, "Hey Gopakumar, you have always been a very, very curious person. You're a curious boy. And I've already explained this fact to you previously." Narada had already explained previously to Gopakumar how the Lord and his eternal associates can actually move in different places and be simultaneously present in various places. So just as how the Supreme Personality of Godhead expands and his various expansions and is the same, that is, he's the same Krishna, he's the same Vishnu Tattva, yet he's present in various places. Similarly, his abodes and his intimate servants like Sesha, Garuda, Uddhava, Hanuman, Jambavan, all these close associates of the Lord are also capable of being present in various places. So a classic example is Hanuman. We see that Hanuman sings the glories of the Lord in a place called as Kimpurusha Varsha in Bhumandala region. The same Hanuman is also present in Ayodhya in the spiritual world. And he himself says that he is present wherever the Ramayana is recited. So we see the same Hanuman is capable of being present in various places, very similar to the Lord. Lord, though Hanuman is one, yet he is present in different places. So similarly, Uddhava and the Yadus, they are also present on earth in the Dwaraka Leela pastimes of Krishna, and they are also present in the spiritual world of Dwaraka. So all the Lord's associates are like playthings in his hand. They are ready to dedicate their services to the Lord anytime and anywhere he desires. Each assumes a variety of forms, yet they stay essentially one, just like the Lord himself. Krishna is one, yet he expands into many. Similarly, his eternal associate devotees are one, yet they are present in many places. Just like the Lord can expand into various forms, similarly, for the sake of service, his eternal associates, they also expand into various forms. They are willing to be instruments in the pleasure pastimes of the Lord. So wherever the Lord goes, for the satisfaction of the Lord, they also go in various places. They accompany the Lord, taking suitable forms. So the Lord, his name, his pastimes, his favorite abodes, everything that has to do with his service, like all his paraphernalia, all this can assume various forms. So all these are eternally real. Each of them is simultaneously one, but many. Just like how Krishna and his weapons, like the Sudarshan Chakra, his conch, the Panchajanya, his Gada, the Kaumodaki, all his paraphernalia, can be present whenever Krishna, wherever Krishna goes. Similarly, his various other things like the Kaustubha gem and any other paraphernalia that Krishna may be wanting to use, his mala, Vaijayanti mala, all of them can accompany Krishna wherever he goes. Similarly, his abodes also, like Mathura, they also expand. Not only is Goloka Vrindavan, Vrindavan there in the spiritual world as Goloka Vrindavan, but the same Vrindavan is also there in Bhumi as Dhauma Vrindavan or Gokul Vrindavan. So all these, whatever is associated with the Lord, they go wherever the Lord goes. So they are present in multiple places. And all these are pure Sachidananda, just like the Lord himself. We all know that the Lord is eternal knowledge and bliss. Similarly, whatever is associated with the Lord is also of the same quality. So Narada told this again, and then he told to Gopakumar, but, you know, what really amazes me is, wherever I go, you still appear like this. You are appearing in the same form and in the same cowherd dress. You are showing the same character as before. Even here, you seem to be so discontent in your heart, Gopakumar. You're always very sad. This is very astonishing to me. So Narada was inquiring how Gopakumar, though he was spiritually potent, because he was in the spiritual world, he was not ready to assume various forms and dresses according to the place he's living in. And he was astonished as to why he's remaining like an innocent cowherd boy, whether he's in Vaikuntha or in Dwaraka. And even more surprising to Narada is the fact that Gopakumar always looks dissatisfied. This dissatisfied look on his face and that distracted glance, that is not going out of Gopakumar wherever Narada sees him. So Narada was telling Gopakumar, for me, the expansion of the Lord's associates or his abode or his various forms is not astonishing. But for me, what is astonishing is you. You're having the same distracted glance, always dissatisfied wherever you go, in spite of it being the spiritual world. Then Gopakumar, he immediately fell at Narada's feet and he clasped his lotus feet and he told him, my dear Lord Narada, you know everything. You know very well what my problem is. So only you can help me. So please help me. Give me proper guidance. I don't know where to go. Please help me. Then Narada, he laughed and then he looked at Uddhava, who was there in his house. See, we know that in the previous class that Gopakumar was staying in Uddhava's house. Krishna told Gopakumar to be with Uddhava. So Narada Muni was meeting with Uddhava in this place, with Gopakumar in this place. And at that time, when Gopakumar caught hold of Narada Muni's feet and asked him for guidance, Narada Muni looked at Uddhava and he started laughing and he told, hey, Uddhava, just look at this. This cowherd boy is born in Govardhan and he is trying to seek something that is unachievable for you and me. So he is wandering here and there, and he is appearing very dissatisfied and distracted. Uddhava, you are always anxious for the favor of the residents of Vraja. So why don't you spend a moment to enlighten this boy who is living very close to you, staying in your house. So just take a moment and enlighten him about the glories of Vrindavan. The abode of Goloka Vrindavan is actually very far, far away from here. And the happiness relished there is inaccessible to us. And even the means to achieve that abode is so rare. You and me can only pray for it. And this boy wants to go there. Although time and space has practically no relevance in the spiritual world, yet Goloka Vrindavan is considered to be very, very far away. And the common residents of Vaikuntha, they cannot approach it. The reason is because taking part in such sort of pleasurable pastimes of Sri Nandanandan is actually very rare. Even the intimate associates of Vaikuntha, they worship the good fortune of the residents who are present in Goloka Vrindavan. So Uddhava, Narada Muni told Uddhava, so why don't you just take a moment and help him, help him realize this fact that yes, he's aspiring to go to Goloka Vrindavan, but we ourselves are not yet there. So just tell this to him and throw more light on this fact. Then Uddhava started speaking. He said, this boy was born in Brajabhumi, and there he was engaged as a cowherd boy in the foothills of Govardhan. He's firmly established in the worship of Lord Gopal. So he's surely much greater than you or I, Narada Muni. He's much better than us. Actually, in Uddhava's opinion, Gopakumar was the most advanced person in that abode of Dwaraka in the spiritual world. Neither himself nor anyone else, nor Narada Muni, nobody there was as advanced as Gopakumar. Why? Because Gopakumar had spent his entire life tending cows in Govardhan, and he was a steady worshipper of Madan Gopal. And he was constantly chanting the 10-syllable mantra of Lord Gopal. He was very firmly fixed in his worship. So wherever Gopakumar went, he continued to remain dissatisfied because he couldn't find his dear worshipable Lord, Madan Gopal. So therefore, seeing the qualities of Gopakumar, Uddhava was telling, this boy is much more advanced than us, and he's actually the fit candidate to go to Goloka Vrindavan. So when Narada heard this from Uddhava, he was very delighted. Then Narada embraced Uddhava and told Uddhava, okay, hurry up. So now it's time. Please instruct him so that he can fulfill his desire. Give him the instructions. Tell him what is Goloka Vrindavan. Give him all the details. It's time for him to know. That is the nature of great devotees. Great devotees like Narada, they are very happy to see other devotees attain their spiritual ambitions. That is the quality of a Vaishnava. When another devotee is ready to fulfill his spiritual ambitions, a Vaishnava should feel automatically very happy and should facilitate that, not feel jealous. So that's what he is showing here, Narada Muni. Very beautifully, he tells Uddhava, okay, Uddhava, hurry up, give him the correct instructions, let him advance, let him go. Then Uddhava, he very humbly replied to Narada and he said, oh dear sage, I am a Kshatriya. How can I instruct Gopakumar in the presence of a great sage like you? You yourself are present here. You are the guru of the entire universe. You are Narada Muni. In your presence, it would be so childish for me to instruct Gopakumar on such an advanced topic. So then Narada Muni started laughing and he said, Uddhava, even here in the spiritual world, you cannot stop thinking yourself as a Kshatriya? This Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, all this is for pastimes in the material world. It is not applicable here. You're in the spiritual world. Come on. But then Uddhava said, what can I say? How can someone like me stop thinking of myself as a Kshatriya when the Lord himself doesn't stop thinking of himself as a Kshatriya? Both on earth and in the spiritual world, Krishna, who is Dwarakanath, he thinks himself to be a householder and a Kshatriya, and he is performing all his activities day and night. He rises early, he performs his regular duties, he respects his parents, his elders, he honors the Brahmana and so on. Even in the spiritual world, that is what he is doing day in and day out. So the Lord himself is not able to give up his duties as a Kshatriya, what to talk about me? I'm so insignificant. So when Uddhava said this, Narada Muni's heart was so filled with joy. He felt so happy looking at the quality of Uddhava. And he jumped up and he shouted in joy and he said, just see how amazing the glorious pastimes of the Lord are and see how sincerely his committed devotees, the Vaishnavas, are serving him. They are serving only him and they are serving him alone. They are doing everything just for his pleasure. The Lord acts in the same way in the spiritual world as he does in the material world. And this is so astonishing. Nothing changes. He's the same. He's the same Lord and he's acting the same way he's doing in the material world even here. And experienced devotees like us, we wonder if we are in the material world of Dwaraka, that is in Bhauma Dwaraka, or we are in the spiritual world Dwaraka. The quality of relationship that the Lord exhibits in the material and the spiritual world is the same. So therefore, all the devotees in the material or spiritual world, when they are with the Lord, they are experiencing the same level of prema rasa. This is so wonderful. This is so wonderful. When the Lord descends down to perform his pastimes, it is not that the devotees present in the Bhauma Leela are relishing something less. They are having the same enjoyment as what is available in the spiritual world. The only interest of the Lord and the devotees is to somehow please each other. Irrespective of the place they are in, it doesn't change their relationship. So they are always happy and they are always trying to please each other. Narada told Uddhava, you're so humble. You just enjoy transcendental reciprocations with the Lord so nicely. Especially on earth, the Lord is so merciful that he seems to be having a body like an ordinary human. And he interacts in loving ways with his devotees that makes his earthly pastimes even more special. You are so wonderful, Uddhava. You're always having the association of the Lord like this. Indeed, it is the utter humility of yourself. Like he was telling Uddhava, devotees like yourself, you're so humble. That is the reason you have succeeded in your spiritual life. Devotional life success is directly proportional to the humility of the person has. So therefore, Uddhava, you have achieved success. Certainly the sweetness that we see in the earthly pastimes in Gokul is very, very special. The Lord's appearance here in earthly Gokul of material world, it is not to be considered as any trick of Maya. It is not like, you know, it's an illusion. Oh, Krishna came to earth and it was an illusory thing. No, it is he himself who comes here. The mature love that is exhibited by the residents of Gokul in their state of prema, that cannot be described by words. It is so great that it impels the Lord to forget his supremacy and behave like an ordinary person to fulfill the desires of all his devotees. So Krishna's mood as an ordinary friend is far superior than treating him with awe and respect. It is this friendship that is so important, the intimacy, the pure love that is so important, that makes his pastimes, Krishna's pastimes, very, very special. Awe and veneration may be indispensable in Vaikuntha. In Vaikuntha, we see that awe and veneration is indispensable. But this only inhibits the expression of prema between the Lord and the devotees. So Vasudeva, who was the father of Lord Sri Krishna, he knew Krishna's identity as the Supreme Lord. So when Krishna incarnated, Vasudeva was his father in the earthly pastimes. But Vasudeva, he was crippled, his love was crippled by the thought that his son is the Supreme Lord. And he was actually cursing himself for that reason. He was not happy about it. So we see this in the 10th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, canto 10, chapter 85, verse number 19, this is a chapter that discusses about how Devaki and Vasudeva had requested Krishna to bring back the sons, the dead sons, the first six sons that they had. So at that time, Vasudeva, he offers a prayer. He tells Krishna about his unfortunate situation. He says, Tate gatosmi aranam atya padaravindam apanna samsriti bayapahamartha bandho etavatala malamindriyalala sena martyatma driktvai pare vyadapatya buddhihi. Therefore, O friend of the distressed, he is addressing his own son Krishna. He says, therefore, O friend of the distressed, I now approach your lotus feet for shelter. The same lotus feet that dispels all fear of worldly existence for those who have surrendered to them. Enough, enough, enough with the hankering for some enjoyment which makes me identify with this mortal body and think of you, the Supreme, as my child. So there, Vasudeva, he condemns himself. He is condemning himself for thinking of trying to gain special opulences or special favors because he is the father of the Supreme Lord. He is not able to see completely that this is my child alone. This is, you know, that that thought of the Supreme Lord as my child is actually crippling the love that Vasudeva is having for Krishna. So Vasudeva is contrasting himself with Nanda Maharaj, the king of Rajabhumi. Nanda Maharaj, he was just satisfied with pure love of Krishna. That's all, nothing else. He was just satisfied with pure love. He didn't think of the opulence of Krishna, the greatness of Krishna. Oh, Krishna can fulfill my favors. He was not thinking like that. So Vasudeva was contrasting himself. So like this, we see that the love in Goloka or the love in Gokul Vrindavan is very, very special. It is very special. There is no question of awe and veneration that cripples this pure love. So Narada, then thinking about the glories of loving service of the Lord's intimate devotees, he was then swept into an ocean of ecstatic transformation, thinking of Goloka Vrindavan. And he was just pulled into an ecstasy, and he just kept silent for some time. He just lost himself. Then he saw that Gopakumar was waiting. Gopakumar was even more troubled. Gopakumar was waiting for answers. He had so many questions in his mind. Why he is not able to enjoy in Dwaraka? He was feeling so lost. He wanted Narada Muni to help him. And now Narada Muni was exhibiting ecstatic transformations. So Gopakumar was troubled and he was waiting for further instructions. So he was looking at Narada Muni very, very carefully, waiting for some answers. Then Narada composed himself and he said, O son of a cowherd, O Gopal Deva Priya, far, far away from here is the abode of Gopal Dev. It is indeed the most exalted of all places known as Goloka Vrindavan. It is full of all splendor, beyond all regions, including Vaikuntha and this Dwaraka where we are staying. Narada, he addressed Gopakumar as Gopala Deva Priya, because he is dear to Lord Gopal. This Gopakumar is dear to Lord Gopal, and the other meaning is that Gopal is dear to him. Gopal Dev Priya means one who is dear to Gopal, and Gopal himself is dear to him. He called him like that and he told him, the Goloka where you are desiring to go, where Krishna can be accessed in the way you want, that land, it stays above all other worlds. It is superior in every way. It is superior in every way. This is stated on the Brahma Samhita, Brahma Samhita 543. Goloka namni nijadamni tale chatasya devi mahesha haridama suteshu teshu tete prabhava nichaya vihitascha yena govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. The lowest of all is located Devi Dham, mundane world. Next above it is Mahesh Dham, abode of Mahesha. Above Mahesh Dham is placed Hari Dham, the abode of Lord Hari. And above them all is located Lord Krishna's own realm named Goloka. I adore the primeval Lord Govinda, who has allotted their respective authorities to the rulers of these graded realms. So Narada said, the same Goloka Dham takes the form of Rajabhumi in the district of Mathura from where you have come. You have come from Rajabhumi. You are missing Gopaladeva. You have traveled all those ways to reach that Goloka Vrindavan. And that Goloka Vrindavan is the same place, non-different from the Rajabhumi in the district of Mathura. Mathura Bhumi includes the forests of Vrindavan. The spiritual abode Goloka Vrindavan is full of cows. It is the same place where you are coming from. that Goloka Vrindavan, it is full of cows. Therefore, it is called as Goloka. Just like Vrajabhumi of the earth, it is full of cows, right? So therefore, in the spiritual world also, it is the same place. It is same. That place is called as Goloka because of the presence of so many cows. It is a very confidential place. Though it is so confidential, because the rasas exhibited there is so confidential, actually it is very famous everywhere. Now, how is it famous everywhere? Because even Indra mentions about the abode of Goloka Vrindavan in his prayers in the Harivamsa Purana. Goloka Vrindavan is mentioned in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. Goloka Vrindavan is mentioned in many, many places. So therefore it is famous. People know it, but still it is very confidential. Why is it confidential? Because it's rarely accessed. It's very rarely accessed. Not everyone gains entry into Goloka Vrindavan. Why is it like that? Because that rasa is very special. It is very difficult to take out this thought of opulence of the Lord, the reverence, the awe. All this is very difficult to remove. Goloka Vrindavan is a very confidential place because all these don't exist there. Though it is famous everywhere, though the Puranas talk about it. So therefore, there is no reason for anyone to doubt that there is a place called as Goloka Vrindavan. Nobody should think that it is an obscure place or it is an unknown place. No, it is known very well, but it is rarely discussed. This abode can be reached only through pure sentiments in which one follows the sublime love of God, following the footsteps of the residents of Vrajabhumi. Goloka can be reached by prema that is free from fault, untouched by jnana or karma or any material endeavor. And this love that is so pure must be concentrated only on the son of Nanda. When it is concentrated on Nanda Nandan, that particular form of the Lord, then one can achieve Goloka. And to attain this kind of prema, one must carefully study the examples of the Vrajavasis like Nanda, Yashoda, the Gopis, especially the ideal example of Sri Radharani and her associates. Then one can attain such a pure love by concentrating on the Supreme Lord. In that mood, one feels no fear or reverence when they are dealing with the Supreme Lord. Okay? So when one comes to that position without any iota of reverence or fear, following in the footsteps of the gopis. It's not like we take the Lord for granted immaturely. No. When one follows in the footsteps of the Vrajavasis, then one develops that kind of pure love. So when they think of the Lord purely in love and friendship, that kind of love is considered very pure. And that is attained in that topmost spiritual kingdom. Vraja Prema is not the love that is seen in the inferior world. We talk about worldly affection. That is not Vraja Prema. Vraja Prema is the topmost spiritual love. Goloka is the highest of all worlds, and the sweetness it embodies is also the supreme. Because there is so much sweetness. Sweetness is not crippled there. Where one is thinking, oh, he is my Lord, I have to offer respects from a distance. Such thoughts are not there. They just love him unconditionally. So Goloka residents, they care for each other. They do all that the people of the material world do. But it is not like any mundane love. It is not seen. That sort of love is not even seen in the mundane world. When Yashoda thinks of Krishna, her breasts overflow with milk. When Nanda Maharaj thinks of Krishna, his eyes are drenched with tears. The cowherd boys, they are using everything they have. The cowherd men, they use everything they have for the pleasure of Krishna. Even their family, they use only for the pleasure of Krishna. Some of these old ladies, they take on the mood of Yashoda and treat Krishna like that. We see in the pastime of the Brahma Vimohan Leela, what happened? The older cowherd ladies, when they had Krishna as their child for that 1 year, when Brahma had taken away the cowherd boys and the calves, at that time what happened? The ladies were feeling so much excessive love. Love was overflowing in their hearts. The cowherd men, when they were taking the cows in Govardhan, when they saw the boys and the calves coming down, they had such an excessive love that was overpouring from their hearts. So like that, people in Vrajabhumi, they cannot tolerate even a momentary obstruction that is even caused when Krishna is hiding behind the tree. When Krishna hides behind the tree, that really kills the heart of the people of Vraja. They just cannot tolerate it. In fact, the gopis are cursing eyelids because these eyelids are obstructing the vision of the Lord. So they were cursing Brahma. Why did you create eyelids like that? So this kind of ecstasy is seen only in Vrajabhumi. So the prema in Vraja is extraordinary. It is very sweet and it's amazing. And it actually has the opulence of the spiritual world, yes, but also it has the sweetness that is seen in the material world. So the devotees of Vraja, they possess supermost opulence, yet they are very, very simple people. They are very simple. They are very simple, though opulence is present everywhere. But their opulence, they are able to take part in Krishna's countless pastimes. But then like ordinary people, they enjoy food, drink, and they have company of friends and so on. When you see the Vrajavasis, they appear like simple people, simple Vaishyas. They are not highly educated or they are not very sophisticated people like the people in Dwaraka. No. They are very simple people, but still they enjoy all the opulences of being with the Supreme Lord so naturally. So that is Vrajabhumi, that is Goloka Vrindavan. For example, during the infant pastimes of Lord, even Krishna is like that actually in Vrajabhumi. When he was exhibiting his infant pastimes, when he was sucking out, what happened when Putana came? Putana wanted to give her breast milk to Krishna. So Krishna, like an innocent child, he was sucking the milk. But then what did he do? Suddenly he showed his opulence. He sucked out the life force from Putana. So all this can happen in Vrajabhumi. Yes, the opulence was present, but still it is overpowered by sweetness. That is Krishna, and that's what happens to the associates in Vrajabhumi. There's a beautiful verse again in Bhagavatam. This is 10:15:19. I just read the translation. In this way, the Supreme Lord, whose soft lotus feet are personally attended by the Goddess of Fortune, concealed his transcendental opulences by his internal potency and acted like the son of a cowherd. Yet, even while enjoying like a village boy in the company of other village residents, he often exhibited feats only God could perform. That is Krishna. So Krishna, he hides his godly powers to act like a human being and steal the hearts of all the devotees. He exhibits his limit of sweetness in his pastimes. In fact, this same Krishna, his lotus feet is massaged by the Goddess of Fortune and Vaikuntha, but the same Lord, he likes to play like a simple village boy in the company of all the villagers. So in Goloka, the dealings between the Lord and his devotees, they just increase the mutual love in a way that is not possible in any other place. In Vaikuntha, this cannot happen because Vaikuntha naturally is the abode of opulence. Now, where is the question of such sweet pastimes to happen? It's not possible. It's not possible. And Gopakumar experienced this so many times. He tried to, he saw Vaikunthanath. Okay, Vaikunthanath was trying to please him. He was trying to please him by, you know, taking the form of a cowherd boy. But was it long-lasting? No, it was, something was stopping him. Still he was Vaikunthanath. Still he was Vaikunthanath. So this sweetness is possible only in that abode called as Goloka Vrindavan. The same Krishna is present in Dwaraka, but there he is Dwarakanath. If he assumes the form of a cowherd boy, people are going to, the associates, the Yadus and the others in Dwaraka are going to laugh. They are going to say, don't take this seriously. This is not important. Our Lord is Dwarakanath. That's how the Yadus see Krishna in Dwaraka. So Ayodhya and Dwaraka, they resemble Vaikuntha in that way. In the sense, there also there is a lot of veneration. In Dwaraka also veneration is seen. In Ayodhya also it is seen. In Ayodhya, Ramachandra, he is still Sitapati and he is still Lakshmana Jeshta, he is still Raja Rama, right? He is Raja. He's the topmost. He is Purushottama. He's got all those ideal qualities of a king and all that. So when one sees such a personality, automatically a reverence is there. It is not possible to completely eliminate it. But whereas in Goloka, this reverence is not at all there. Therefore, Krishna has arranged it to be far away because it is accessible only to some people who have the secret relationship with Krishna. So therefore, Krishna has arranged it to be far away. In Ayodhya and Dwaraka, the mood of reverence for the Supreme Lord, recognizing his supremacy is present. neither Dwarakanath nor Ramachandra nor Vaikunthanath is ready to completely be submissive to the control of their devotees. Can everybody control them? No, it's not possible in other abodes. But when you think of Gokul Vrindavan or Goloka Vrindavan, obviously everyone controls Krishna. Krishna also controls others, others also Krishna, others also control Krishna. Yashoda Mai shows a stick to Krishna and she tells him, you better behave yourself. All this is possible only in Gokul. Imagine showing a stick to Ramachandra or showing a stick to Dwarakanath. It's not possible. So that is the abode of Goloka Vrindavan. There is a special pleasure in the past tense with the Lord, and they have realized the ultimate sweetness, these devotees. It is a place where both servants and the served can equally dominate each other. That abode is where the Lord actually exhibits his complete confidential mode of Godhead. That is the reason Goloka Vrindavan is actually, in reality, much more opulent than Vaikuntha. Actually, it is much more opulent. Chintamani, we say, Chintamani Prakara. Like that we say. That means what? Everywhere, the dust is Chintamani, the stones are Chintamani. But do they care for the Chintamani? No. In Goloka Vrindavan, what they do? They keep Chintamani as a door stopper. That is all the value they give for that. Because why they're doing that? Because that Chintamani can be as a door stopper so that these Vrajavasis, they can keep the door open to see if Krishna is coming back home in the evening. That is their focus. Like that. So, this Goloka is higher than all other abodes, and Krishna is the highest form of the Lord. Everyone, his beauty, his personality, his pastimes, everything is the topmost in Goloka. And the Gokul is actually a direct expansion of Goloka on earth. And therefore, even Bhauma Vrindavan, because it's a direct, see, Bhauma Vrindavan is a direct expansion of the Goloka Vrindavan. Therefore, Bhauma Vrindavan is also considered higher than Vaikuntha. It is much higher than Vaikuntha. Even if it is Vrindavan on earth, on this material plane, even then it is much higher than Vaikuntha because it is non-different. Then Narada said very lovingly, so you please listen, my dear friend. Actually, my unsteady tongue is itching to speak. I want to speak more. So now I will uncover a jewel that I've long kept stored in the treasure chest of my heart. I have a secret. I want to talk so much about it. My tongue is itching. And seeing you, I feel that I want to talk to you. I want to tell you everything. I'm sure you'll be benefited from this. Narada had not disclosed this to anyone else before. But when he saw Gopakumar, he couldn't keep it hidden in his heart. He just wanted to disclose everything from his heart. He said, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna, the Lord of Goloka, when he wants to enjoy his various pastimes of highest pure love, and what happens is he descends. At the end of Dwapara Yuga, he descends to the material world in a very special place, which is called as Bhauma Vrindavan. He descends with his complete all his partial expansions, all the para, vyuha forms, all his expansions, they all descend along with him. All the incarnations come in Krishna, the Vaikunthanath, Vishnu, Rama, Narasimha, everybody, they are all present in that one form of Krishna. That is the chief reason why the Lord descends to satisfy his own desires. He comes with everybody when he takes that form of Krishna. He descends. Why does he descend? Because he's eager to enjoy pastimes with his dear devotees who are surcharged with prema. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, he descends only during the 20th Chaturyuga of the 7th Manvantara, on the day of one day of Brahma, during the fag end of the Dwapara Yuga. That is when Krishna descends. And when he descends in Mathura or Gokul. And at that time, he takes with him all the expansions with him. Everybody is present in Krishna. All these expansions are actually non-different from Krishna. Though they have a different identity, all of them are present within Krishna when he decides to come. When the Swayam Bhagavan, Lord Sri Krishna, who is the composite of all the incarnations, he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is like that original candle. Actually, everything is present in him. All of them are present in him. So he decides to come down, and at that time he decides to leave all these abodes like Vaikuntha and so many other places. He just leaves that place. He just puts them aside to enjoy the happiness that is not obtainable anywhere. So he comes down to sport freely in the land of Vraja, which is Sri Mathura Mandal, and he enjoys his very special pastimes. He enjoys various pastimes with his devotees and Vrajabhumi. In fact, he displays perfections that are not seen even in Goloka Vrindavan. No, Narada Muni is saying Gokul Vrindavan, Bhauma Vrindavan is even better than Goloka Vrindavan, because the pastimes he is enjoying there, is it has so many facets. It is so beautiful. There is so much abundance of mercy that Krishna shows when he comes down to the material world, because he is attracting all the people. There is a special potency when Krishna comes. The pastimes that Krishna performs in Bhauma Vrindavan excels the pastimes that is there in Goloka Vrindavan. And the people who are able to see Krishna and associate with him when he comes down, they have an exceptionally good fortune and devotion to him. So Narada even explained that sometimes he told Gopakumar that you saw that when you were in Vaikuntha and when you were in in the heavenly abode or wherever you were, in, you traveled through so many places, sometimes you would see that suddenly the Lord would disappear there. Do you know why the Lord would disappear there for some time? The reason is because all the forms of the expansions of Lord Sri Krishna would join him in his pastimes. So therefore, you would see a momentary absence in the spiritual world, even in the material world. Wherever he went, right, he saw a momentary absence or sometimes a longer absence. Because all the forms would actually join Krishna in performing pastimes on that particular day. On that particular day of Brahma, during the 28th Chaturyuga of the seventh Manvantara, that time everybody, they are eager to join Krishna. And everyone gets into that particular form and they are enjoying pastimes. Narada was telling him. Even in Vaikuntha, we saw Vaikunthanath momentarily was absent at that time. Because he wants to just go and enjoy pastimes in that form of Krishna. In fact, this is very astonishing that in the pasurams of the Alvars or the works of the Alvars, there is a very beautiful song where they say that sometimes Vaikuntana, they also accept actually, they say while showing dhoop in the spiritual world, when the eternal associates, the Nityasiddhas are worshipping the Lord, showing dhoop. When the entire area is covered with smoke, that time the Lord suddenly vanishes. And then he comes back in a minute. Where does he go at that time? They are also saying. They say he goes and eats all the sweets in Vrajabhumi and he comes back. He eats all the butter, he goes, steals the butter, and then he comes back hurriedly. Because he's so tired of all these, hearing this glorification and seeing all this opulence here. He wants a change, so he goes and plays in Vrindavan and he comes back. Like that. So Krishna is so wonderful. He is a composite of everybody. So that is Krishna. Now, Narada Muni, he talks about why different people have different opinion about Lord Sri Krishna when he appears in the material world. So some people are saying, oh, this Krishna is an incarnation of Vishnu. Some people say he is Narayana, right? We have heard this several times. Some people will say he is Narayana. Some people will say he is Vishnu. Some people will say he is Swayam Bhagavan from Goloka Vrindavan. Like that. You hear so many, you hear so many people giving so many ideas about how Krishna has appeared. Not ideas, actually. It is some conclusion, some sort of conclusion that they have derived. Some people think it is Shiv Sagar, Vishnu, who has actually come, who was incarnated, which is true in one sense. Because when all the incarnations come to earth, Shiradakshaya Vishnu, he is like a door through which all the incarnations come. Okay, so we see in every pastime the demigods, they will go to Shvetadvip, the ocean of milk. They'll stand on the banks of the ocean of milk and they'll offer Purusha Sukta prayers, asking the Lord to descend. Then the Lord comes as Rama or Krishna or whatever incarnation. So whenever the devas have a trouble, that's what they do. That is the protocol that they follow. So then one can very well think that it is Shiv Sagar Vishnu who's actually coming and performing the pastimes of Krishna here. Right? So like this, there are many sages who think that the Lord descended in Mathura Mandal is actually Lord Narayan. Some people think he's Vishnu. Some people think he's Keshava. Keshava is identified with Shiv Sagar Vishnu, who lies in the ocean of milk. So therefore, great followers of progressive Vedic culture, they describe Krishna's descent according to their own understanding from where they have ascertained Krishna's sweetness and opulence and other qualities. So some say it is Lord Sri Krishna Swayam Bhagavan, others will say it's Vaikunthanath, others will say it is Mahapurusha, who's that is actually Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, who is the worshipable Lord of Brahma. And the same Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, he resides in Brahma's planet of Satyaloka, giving him company. So some people think it is that Mahapurusha who has come from the planet of Brahma. And there are so many others who decide that it is even Naranarayana Rishi who has come as Krishna and Arjuna to perform pastimes. So like that, there are so many opinions. Now, where does this Naranarayana Rishi opinion come from? This is actually there in the Bhagavatam itself. So in Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 1, verse number 59, I'll read that verse and we'll also see Prabhupada's purport. So the verse is, Savimau vai bhagavato harer amshau ihagatau bhara vyayaya cha bhuvah krishnau yadu kuru dvauhau. That Naranarayana Rishi, who's a partial expansion of Krishna, has now appeared in the dynasties of Yadu and Kuru in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna respectively to mitigate the burden of the world. Purport. Narayana is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and Nara is the part of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana. Thus, the energy and energetic together are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Maitreya informed Vidura that Nara, the portion of Narayana, has appeared in the family of the Yadus and that Narayana is the plenary expansion of Krishna, has come as Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, with the purpose of delivering suffering humanity from the pangs of material burdens. In other words, Narayana Rishi is now present in the world in the forms of Krishna and Arjuna. Yet some others say it is Keshava, who is lying in the ocean of milk. He actually took out two hairs from his head. This is a very common verse that you will see in Bhagavatam, in Vishnu Purana, in so many places. It's a very common verse, where the description of the appearance of Krishna is given that Shiv Sagar Vishnu, the Shiradakshaya Vishnu, he took out two hairs from his head and one black hair appeared as Krishna and the white hair appeared as Balaram. Very famous concept. Many people will talk about this. It is there in Bhagavatam also. Okay, there is this verse, this is Bhagavatam 2.7.26. The verse has this phrase, Kalaya Shita Krishna Keshaha. Okay. So according to some commentators, when they are translating this verse, they say Vishnu created Krishna and Balaram from one black and one white hair of his. Kalaya Shita Krishna Kesha. Kesha means hair. Shita is white. Krishna is black. So from these two, Shirodakshaya Vishnu, he created Krishna and Balaram. This is one common theory that is being propounded. The same thing is also there in Vishnu Purana. Very similar words. It says, Ujjahara Atmanaha Keshav Shita Krishna Mahamune. O great sage, the Lord pulled out one black and one white hair. And Krishna and Balaram appeared. Now, these people are saying that Krishna and Balaram has come from the hair of Shirodakshaya Vishnu. But then in Laghu Bhagavatamrita, Rupa Goswami and even Jiva Goswami in Krishna Sandarbha, they refute this translation itself. They are saying, how can that be possible? Shiradakshaya Vishnu or any form of the Supreme Lord is always Navayavana. He is always 16-year-old. There is the question of white hair coming on his body. It is not at all possible. It is not possible. So therefore, the correct translation of this verse is that Kesha is hair, Krishna is black. So therefore, Krishna Kesha means beautiful black hair. But then when the word Shita comes, Shita is white. One meaning of Shita is white. Another meaning of Shita is cold. another meaning of Sheeta is something that is well combed or well settled, well, very nicely, beautifully, elegantly seen. That is also called as Sheeta. So therefore, the correct translation of this verse is, the Supreme Lord who has beautiful hair, who has beautiful well-combed hair, who is called as Keshava, he appeared in this world. So that is the correct meaning of understanding that verse. So therefore, we see that, you know, each sage in some through history, through different paramparas and different historical sages, they have all focused on a particular aspect of a particular form of the Lord. So therefore, they have realized a particular form of a Lord in their meditation. So these sages naturally describe that Lord to be the one who is descended as Krishna, whom they have realized. We all have a particular realization. So based on that realization, they are saying this Krishna is that form. Now, since all the features of Godhead are included within Krishna himself, we just saw how everything is included within Krishna. So therefore, there is no fault in saying that one of the expansions of Krishna has come to earth and become Krishna. This is how Sanatana Goswami explains. Ultimately, all this means that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead and everybody is included in him. When he is killing the demons and protecting the demigods, Vishnu is present. When he is exhibiting his anger, Narasimha is present. When he performs his daily activities so perfectly in Dwaraka, Ramachandra is present. Everyone is present in Krishna when he descends. So therefore, he is Purna. He is most complete. Purna. He is completely pure. Purna, which means he's full. Everything is present in him. So that is Krishna. Then Narada, he said, but actually the truth, you know, there are so many opinions. I told all these opinions that there is a lot of variation in different sages' realizations. And he also explained why there is variation. Because each person is attached to one particular form of the Lord that is revealed to them, and which they are attached to. So therefore, they will say that form of the Lord came like that. But however, Narada said, in truth, the divine Lord Golokanath, because he is complete in all rasas. Logically also, when we see, it is actually Golokanath himself who is coming. Because it is only Golokanath who is complete in all rasas, all the 64 qualities, right? So therefore, he is the one who actually descends. He himself, Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan, he himself descends to perform pastimes in Bhauma Vrindavan or Gokul Mathura. Okay, so it is that original form of the Lord who is complete in all opulences, who is complete in all rasas, who is Rasovai Saha. Today morning class, Sita Priti Mataji was talking about Rasovai Saha, abode of all rasas. Who can be the abode of all rasas? Only Krishna can be the abode of all rasas. So that Supreme Swayam Bhagavan from Goloka Vrindavan, he has descended in Rajabhumi. That is the correct understanding. So after Narada revealed all this transcendental secret about Lord Golokanath, then Narada wanted to explain about the supreme opulence that is exhibited by Krishna. Because we have just said it in one statement now. Oh, Krishna is complete. He has come. But we should understand this in real detail. Gopakumar should understand everything. So all this, Narada Muni had to explain. At that time, Narada called Uddhava and Gopakumar close and he said, no one in this house, that is both you and Gopakumar, both of you are not outsiders. Both of you very well know what is Vrajabhumi. Uddhava has gone to Vraja and he himself has seen the greatness of Vraja and the residence of Vraja. This Gopakumar, he is a boy who has come from Vrajabhumi. So both of them are not outsiders. So therefore, I am now going to discuss, Narada said, I'm now going to discuss something extremely confidential, very, very confidential to both of you. I will freely speak now because I'm in Uddhava's house and only you both are present. So I'm going to freely speak all these wonderful topics. So Narada Muni, he's going to speak about the mercy, the beauty, pastimes, qualities of Krishna. Then he will glorify the glories of the Vrajavasis. He will talk about the topmost position of the gopis, the oneness of Gokul Vrindavan, Bhauma Vrindavan, and Goloka Vrindavan. So all this, his qualities, his splendor, his pastimes, his subservience to his devotees, which is in fact his greatest quality, all this will be discussed in grand detail in the forthcoming sessions. So we'll stop there. So Narada Muni has called these two people and he said, now I'm going to reveal even more. So we'll keep him waiting there and we'll hear what he had to say in the next class. So this whole book two is in two volumes. We have just opened the second book of the second volume. That means we have one full book to go. All this is going to be about Goloka Vrindavan. So there is so much that is going to be revealed. Honestly, I just prepare on a class by class basis. So even I don't know what all is going to come. So let's see and wait and get more details on who really Krishna is, what this Goloka Vrindavan really is. So we'll stop here. Any questions, comments, realizations, additions, corrections, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for taking us through the journey of Goloka Vrindavan. So that's so beautiful. You narrated all the pastimes, everything. So just one today, like somehow it got cleared when you were telling that even I was under that impression that when Krishna came or when Lord Ramachandra came, Ayodhya, the real Ayodhya in the spiritual world is not empty. But you said that even when Lord Ramachandra came to this Bauma, to do his Bauma Leela on his earthly planet, the real Ayodhya in the spiritual world was empty. And this is how same happened with Krishna, because I was under this impression that Krishna never leaves Vrindavan. So how can he leave the Goloka Vrindavan? So, like as you said, he leaves for a minute, right? Like a moment, because the moment there is practically the whole yuga passes here in this earthly planet. Is that so?
Yes. And there are two, actually, the way Narada Muni is explaining here is that the other forms of the Lord, because Krishna, when we always hear this, right, when Krishna comes, all the incarnations are present within him. So that's why he's explaining that point, like momentary absence for enjoyment. Okay, but still, it is not, that is how we understand. Actually, they never leave, but still, for the sake of enjoyment, they show that momentary absence so that they can come and they can enjoy. Yes, but the pastimes go on. Yeah. It's like a fraction, less than a fraction of a second, right, for them. Yeah.
If not on this earth planet, then maybe like we say that Krishna's pastimes are going on eternally in other planets also.
Yeah, Mataji, so it's inconceivable, honestly, because Krishna can never leave the spiritual world. It cannot be vacant. It's not possible. But it is more on a standpoint where we are seeing how the eagerness of the Lord to enjoy pastimes, you know. So therefore we say that momentarily he is absent, you know, for a fraction of a second he is enjoying. But actually, in reality, there is no question of vacant. It's inconceivable. I don't know how to say this. It's kind of inconceivable. It's all this is just for our understanding. Of our understanding of how Krishna is. It's not on a, literal level, actually. That's what I mean to say. It's not really literally that he, the kids and he comes. Actually, he's always present there, because we also saw the same in the beginning of the class. We saw that all the expansions are simultaneously present in various places. It is inconceivable, right? Like that. So when we say Krishna wants to enjoy some momentary absence, is just a it's more on a rasa point, Mataji, like how the devotees are interacting with Krishna. Everything is for enjoyment. Like even when Krishna, Vaikunthanath was absent for a second, right? He was absent for a second. He ran away. That increased the love of the residents in Vaikuntha. He is facilitating every second his further relationships with the associates that he is dealing with. That's what Krishna does every second. So when we say his momentary absence was for his enjoyment, at the same time he's increasing the rasa with the devotees who are present there. And all this is inconceivable. It doesn't mean again that really, really he was absent. He just did it for the sake of pastime. Like that you should take it.
Yeah, like I could somehow understand this way that yes, though he is momentarily absent in the Vaikuntha planet, means on the spiritual world, just to increase the rasa there of all the Vasis, you know, the Vaikuntha Vasis or the Vraj Vasis who are present there. Yes, he is increasing their rasa, but at the same time, a moment of absence makes the whole yuga pass in this Bhaumalila. So,
right.
Like, for me, it's not inconceivable to an extent that, yes, that can happen, right? They're just a moment. But here, why not, you know, he can come directly and vacating that place. There is no harm because there, it's just a moment. But here, it's the whole, you know, the yuga path. So,
yes.
So it can be true, yeah. Thank you so much, Mataji, and thank you for bringing up this point of Krishna Sita Keshava, because even when you were telling, I referred to Srimad Bhagavatam also, and there also Prabhupada translates, you know, as not only beautiful, but also black. So with Sita, he's mentioning about, like you said, well-combed means beautiful.
So
thank you for bringing. I never dive deep into that word, but today because of you I was able to reconcile that. Thank you so much.
And interestingly, even in other sampradayas they translate it the other way, that it is a black and white hair. That's how they translate. They take the literal kesha meaning, I mean literal Sita kesha, Sita Krishna kesha meaning. And that's
the beauty of Sanskrit language. You know, one word can have multiple meanings.
And how the acharyas, they go to great lengths to, you know, establish that particular point. Jiva Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they have taken a lot of efforts in establishing it from various angles and showing this is what it is. It's very nice. Very true. Very, very true.
Yeah. Thank you for all your efforts. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasne Mataji. All glories to Prabhupada. Wonderful class as usual. I actually had the same question as Kirida Sundari Mataji. I forgot her name.
You forgot my name?
I'm sorry. Your face was in my mind's eye, and I was like, it just didn't come out. My question, okay, this is kind of like a tangential question in a sense. So my question is, so Krishna is coming to different universes, as we said, so pastimes are happening continuously, it's inconceivable. So my question is actually about the pure devotee. So we say that, you know, the pure devotee, why would he want to, going to sound weird, if Krishna is in different universes and his childhood pastimes, the most sweet pastimes, are happening in those universes continuously, would a pure devotee even want to go back to Goloka Vrindavan, or would he want to just stay in Bhauma Vrindavan wherever it is in any of the universes? I don't know if that's even a question we can answer, but it just always wondered this question.
Yeah, sometimes they do say that some devotees, they just like to stay back here because they feel it's so much more relishable here than actually going to the spiritual world. And some devotees do have that thought. But again, all these eternal associates, they're present in various places. They're present there, they're present here. So they take different forms to enjoy the Lord's pastime. So most of the eternal associates, they do that. They are present both in the spiritual world and the material world. Sometimes we also hear Prabhupada say that, certain eternal associates are limited to the material world, like they enjoy being in the material world as well, not just in the material world. So it's kind of, it depends on the devotees.
Okay.
But they're completely capable of different forms everywhere, yeah.
Say that last part, they're complete what?
They're completely capable of being both in the spiritual world and in the material world, as we discussed in the beginning of the class, that Narada Muni, how was he present everywhere, and he gives an explanation about the Sesha, Garuda and others are completely capable of being everywhere. So similarly, we understand all the eternal associates are completely capable of being everywhere, like that.
Okay.
And also, if needed, if they want to stay only here, that is also possible. That is also possible, completely possible.
Okay.
It depends on the associate.
So Krishna is appearing in the 24th yuga, Brahma, in every universe, like in all the universes that are like the mustard seeds in the bag. So that's continuously happening, right?
Yeah, it's continuously happening. Yeah. Yes, it's continuously happening. It's like the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun. That is the example given. It is continuously happening throughout right. all the year. Yeah, yeah. So
I was just thinking that I was in this universe itself, right? Taking so many births. But Is it also true that we could be in any of those universes taking birth over and over and over again?
Maybe. We don't know. Yeah, maybe. Oh, yes.
They say,
right, before going to the spiritual world, first you do your, what is that, internship.
Right.
One of the worlds where Krishna is performing fasting, then you get qualified and you go on to the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So, yes. We could. We don't know.
It's just mind-boggling to think of after so many lifetimes, maybe in so many universes, we've gotten this human life. So how rare it truly is. Thank you, Mahatma.
To take birth right after Krishna appeared, how rare everything is.
Right. It's kind of mind-boggling and just kind of puts more into perspective of how lucky we are, and also to be in the time when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is still in to our not too distant past, right? You know, a little more than 500 years, not too distant past, actually. If you think
and
about
after Prabhupada.
And after Prabhupada, exactly.
The comfort of our homes, using the internet and this world of technology, everything is in touch of your fingers, everything is available. The entire shastra, everything, what is needed, the essence of all the shastras is just available for you in your fingertips in this world today, in this age. Who can be more fortunate, Mataji? We are probably probably by Krishna's mercy, yes, very, very fortunate people.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hi.
A couple of questions. Actually, I want to kind of follow up for a moment on Chaitanya Sundari's question about Krishna leaving Vrindavan. Even this is for a fraction of a moment. So I'm trying to reconcile your discussion with my understanding that he never actually leaves Vrindavan because he's always present in his bhava manifestation, you know, due to that Vipalamba. So when he's physically absent, he's still present because of that bhava manifestation.
Yes.
So I'm trying to see how that jives with what you and Chaitanya Sundari were saying.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, prakata, that's what you're asking, right? Yeah.
Excuse me?
It's just inconceivable. I mean, these are all relished by the devotees. They are saying, oh, Krishna momentarily left so that he can perform pastimes in the material world and go back. You know, out of love, they do say that. There also sometimes people do see Krishna. Oh, Krishna is absent. But then what is it doing there? It is only increasing the rasa. Just to strengthen the relationships, all this is happening. Even that is a pastime. That is how we...
It sounds more like pastime. You know, not that it's like, not that it's literally that he leaves...
It's
for a fraction of a moment.
They can, not like that. Everything is for fun and pastime. Yeah, that's how we take it, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because really, Krishna doesn't leave the spiritual. How can a spiritual abode become vacant, right? You can argue like that also, right? Yes, it's all possible. It is all possible. That's right. It's inconceivable. Krishna can do anything like that.
Oh my God, I forgot one question I had. Oh my God, it's killing me. Anyway, one thing I do remember, I wanted to ask you. Oh my God, it's killing me that I wanted to ask you this thing. Okay, going back to when you were saying that there's actually more opulence in Vrindavan than in the Vaikuntha lands, or like Ayodhya, Mathura, any other loka, you know? And so, you know, like you said, they'll use, you know, some kind of jewel for a doorstop even. And how do I reconcile the fact that Vrindavan is more opulent, yet we only see, you know, pictures of or scenes of them wearing flower garlands, you know, simple village scenes, you know. How am I supposed to see that as more opulent?
Why is it more opulent? Is because what gives, see, opulence actually is what is used in Krishna's service, what is giving him pleasure. That is real opulence. Okay. So if the sweetness of the forest and flowers of Vrindavan, it's not just money or not just the value of a jewel that is opulence. So what really gives pleasure, that's why this particular thing of this doorstopper, the Chintamani being kept as a doorstopper is being told. Because really, it is not so important for them. For them, that rasa with Krishna is more important. That hankering for Krishna to return is more important. So their focus is on the hankering. Their focus is really not on the jewel. Oh, I can present this jewel to Krishna. They're not bothered about it. For them, it's nothing. They just sit on the doorstep and they're like, okay, whatever. Now I have to wait. I have to make some nice laddus or something for Krishna to come and I should see him happy. So opulence for them is what can be used in Krishna's service. That is real opulence. The relationship, the rasa that they're enjoying. That is dual relationship. It is also beautiful. Like when we see Vrindavan through the eyes of Srimad Bhagavatam, the way Bhagavatam describes Vrindavan, it is so beautiful. Rainy season in Vrindavan, like that, there are some chapters of how Vrindavan looks so beautiful. And, you know, all this today, when we go with our materialized, we cannot see. We don't see it as opulent, quote-unquote. But actually, this is real opulence when we see Vrindavan through the pages of the Bhagavatam. It sounds so beautiful. Everything is, even those little flowers, they are being engaged in Krishna's service, where they can pick up those gunja berries and they can make nice anklets for Krishna or earrings for Krishna. Krishna enjoys making earrings with gunja berries. He's not even worried about wearing gold earrings. Because anyway, if he goes to the forest, he's going to lose all of that. You know, he's just going to fall somewhere. He's more interested in gunja berries. He's more interested in Vaijayanti Mala, forest flowers. All this is opulence for Krishna. You understand, right? It's not directly the jewel value.
Yes, yes. But, you know, in the spiritual world, I mean, that's... In the spiritual world, everything is being used in Krishna's service. So the difference is that in Goloka, it's the nature of the love with which everything is being used in his service. Is that the idea that, you know, like...
The sweetness is the greatest opulence there. The opulence is actually the sweetness in the relationship. The sweetness is the greatest.
Yes. So that's the sweetness is the actual opulence.
Yes.
Okay. Oh, I got big mercy because the question I had, I think, came back to me. And thank you so much for that one.
Thank you.
I'm referring to when you were saying that although Boma Vrindavan is non-different from the one in the spiritual world, still the one here is somehow, how would you say,
more attractive.
More attractive. I think you were saying something like you were talking about the mercy aspect.
Yes.
But can you just elaborate on that? How it is that it's more attractive, this one?
Yeah. So that is right. So in the spiritual world, Krishna is with all his eternal associates. All of them are receiving his mercy all the time. But all the jiva souls are important to Krishna. Not only the eternal associates. Krishna also wants the others to come back. So when he comes to Bhauma Vrindavan and he performs his pastime, he's attracting everybody. He's giving everyone an opportunity. So the mercy aspect has increased so much, and it makes Krishna sweeter. He's such a kind and a sweet Lord, right? And he has come for the sake of everyone. So then the sweetness is multiplied 100 more times here in the material world. Then he's in that mood. Then he becomes so much more accessible. He's so much more accessible, and he comes down to our level. So then the sweetness is there. That's how we understand. And of course, the whole book is about that. There's a lot more discussion that's going to go on. But this is in a simple way to understand, based on today's content only, I'm saying.
Okay, so because our need here is so great, you know, due to our conditioning, it invokes that that merciful side of him, and that's why we're able to see him as sweeter here than he is in his original abode, right?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Madhavi, so much.
Thank you, Madhavi.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dandavat pranams.
Dandavat, Mataji.
Thank you so much, Mataji. It was a wonderful class, and I really liked your point on Krishna's rasa, where he exhibits the mood of all the avatars all the avatars, Narasimha avatar in the mood of anger, Narama avatar, he's compassionate, and all the rasas are present in Krishna, and that is something really that we need to admire. And when we see such a quality in him, we should always remember the avatar that he has performed and correlated to that. Very nice, Mataji. Definitely looking forward to more of what Narada has to say.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Radhika Mataji. Thank you for coming on the call. And yes, I'm sure Narada Muni has so much more. And we are so fortunate by Sanatan Goswami's mercy we have this. Yes, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Vrti, Rasan, Gopi, Koti, Koti, Dhanvat, Pranam. Mataji, when you are explaining the Leela, Dr. Vishwar Prabhuji explained all this Leela in his spiritual care department, Bhaktivedanta Hospital, when we are working voluntary. And Mataji, same power you have, like we feel that Leela, that much potency in your class, Mataji, Shidam Vrindavan Dham, and you explained very, very nicely about Golok Vrindavan Dham, and what is the mood of Narad Muni. Ajji Janva Mataji explained that he is a not ordinary personality, he is a so sincere Vaishnava. And one more thing, Dr. Vishwaprabhu explained that when Lord Krishna and Srimati Radharani came in a material world, so they came with all the Parshada. Parshada means our Panch Tattva and all Rishi Muni and Guru and our Guru Maharaj or anybody, Jaipatra Maharaj, Rajanath Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj, they are not ordinary personality. Srila Prabhupada, they are like a spiritual bomb, and they reciprocate with Srimati Radharani and Srila Prabhupada and our Guru Parampara and Sri Goswami and whatever Jiva Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, and whatever they instruct them, they will preach us. So Mataji, so nicely you sing Govind Namami Purushantam Aham Bhajami. When you sing two or three stanza, Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. I try my best to by heart, but still I by heart three sloka only. That much the poorest. Dandvat Pranam, Mataji. Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam. No words to your seva. Hari Hari Bol. Srila Prabhupada.
Hari Bol. Even Brahma Samhita, Mataji, that's what you asked.
Brahma Samhita, can you please sing a little bit?
Yeah, sure. Let me open up the thing.
I forgot one thing to inform that Srimati Radharani told to Lord Krishna then when they came for with that parchada in a bhautik, like a material world, Srimati Radharani explained that she need Shishi Yamuna Maharani, Shishi Govardhan, and the third thing I forgot, Shri Vrindavan Dham. So that's why Lord Krishna is creating material world, Shidam Vrindavan Dham. Still Lila is going on then. Lila is going on there, but we cannot see with our material eyes.
Yes, Mataji. Very, very true. Very, very true. Thank you for adding that. Thank you, Mataji. We'll do Brahma Samhita. Yeah. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vikraha Anadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam Chintamani Prakarasatma Shukalpa Vriksha Lakshavratishu Surabhira Vipalayantam Lakshmi Sahasrashata Sambhrama Sevyamanam Govinda Madipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Venum Kwanantam Aravinda Dayala Daksham Barhavatam Samastitam Bhuta Sundarangam Kandarpa Kopika Maniya Visesha Shobham Govinda Mali Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Alola Chandra Kalasadvana Malya Vamshi Ratnangadam Pranayakeli Kalavilasam Shyamam Tribhanga Lalitam Niyata Prakasham Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Bhajami Angani Yasya Sakalendriya Vrittimanti Pashyanti Panti Kalayanti Chiram Jaganti Ananda Chinmayaras Ananda Chinmaya Sadujwala Vikrahasya Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Advaita Machyuta Manadi Manantarupam Adhyam Purana Purusham Navayavanam Cha Vedeshu Durlaba Madurlaba Matma Bhaktau Govinda Madi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. Is that it? Did not hear
it? Sisi Brahma Sahita ki jai Govind Namami Puritam Tamaham Bhajami. Kuti kuti dhanvat mana mataji.
Very beautiful singing, Mataji, and very beautiful class. Thank you so much, Mataji, for such a beautiful class.
Thank you so much, Vinita Gandharvika, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Kuti Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji, for the class and the last part is very wonderful, Mataji, and the song is also so sweet, Mataji. Mataji, is this the tune of Venkateswara Suprabhatam we sing, Mataji?
Yeah.
The same meter.
Yes. Same meter. Yes, you're right. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, it is very nice, Mataji. Thank you so much, Preeti Mataji, for explaining us all this. Hidden secrets of this Leelas and Krishna and everything, Mataji. Thank you so much, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mr. Priya Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much for your association and being on the call. Hare Krishna.
Like Senior Brahmachari is singing, Govind Namami Purusham Tamaham Bhajami.
Yes, Mataji. So melodious.
Sweet Mate, so sweet Priti Vila Singh Gopi. You are proof that you are Shidam Vrindavan Dham Gopi.
Only Acharya's mercy, Mataji, whatever is there. Nothing belongs here. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam Mataji, thank you so much for talking about Goloka Vrindavan Dham and
taking us there. It's so beautiful, Mataji. Looking forward to more, to hearing more and more on how Krishna's world is going to be. It's so beautiful. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you. Thank you, Indu Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you for the beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Shri Radha Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you for logging in. Hare Krishna. Okay. So then we can end the call. And yeah, we'll meet again next week, hopefully. Vancha Kalpataru Vesha Krapa Sindhu Devacha Patitanam Pavani Bhya Vaishnavi Bhyo Namo Namaha Ananda Koti Vaishnavranda Ki Jai Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Brihad Bhagavatamrita Ki Jai Shri Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai All Glory Shri Assemble Devotees Jai Shri Prabhupada Hare Krishna.